Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on the Real Momentum.
Yep, and I've always heard you may not, most churches wouldn't know the difference if God showed up or not. You know, they're so used to getting in there and getting it done. And you're so right about the post-COVID church. I mean, there's churches, and I mean, we're not big enough for it. If churches are, I've never believed that online, Facebook, sometimes there's a need for that, health-related reasons, homebound. I'm thankful for the technology. It's not a substitute for the local church, though. But there are churches that are hiring full-time online pastors where their role is just to minister to people online. I'm not sure that's the plan of the Lord for the local church even. But you're right. God is speaking. God is moving. I want to encourage you listeners to find out where that is and join them. That's an old Henry Blackaby statement there. You find out where God is speaking, find out where God is moving, and join them. We often want God to join us where we're at, but God wants us to join him where he's at. I don't know who said it, Keith. I heard John Piper say it one time, but many of men said it one time, right? That if you want to hear God speak in an audible voice, read his word out loud, right?
Amen.
He's speaking.
Yeah.
We got his word. And I think with this point, I think what we're trying to drive home, at least what I'm trying to drive home, is that healthy pastors, healthy men lead healthy churches, which is why I always ask my staff. I disciple a young man every week. I have coffee with him every week. And he knows now that when he meets with me, I'm going to ask him a question to start off with: what is God teaching you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that comes from a conviction of mine, but also an embarrassing moment. I was in Bible college learning. I started getting a little prideful in my knowledge and what I knew. And I just had the head knowledge and wasn't applying it to my heart and my life. And I remember I wasn't spending a whole lot of time in God's word. I was studying theology, but that was about it. And my dad asked me one time, he said, Mike, son, what is God teaching you? And I had no answer. None, because I mean, at that time I wasn't pressing into God's word. There was no truth transforming my heart. So I kind of made a point in my own personal revival, my own manhood, that as much as the Spirit of God gives me the grace to do so, I'll never not have an answer for that question again. Because I want the Lord to daily teach me as I study his word and as I press into him. So that may bring us up to this other point on a man and his personal revival. When you seek the face of God, everything changes. Amen. Isn't that so true?
It is true. There's a statement by Daniel Henderson who wrote a book that really where that statement comes out of here. When you seek the face of God, everything changes. And he said, basically his premise is revival changes everything. And then we got to define what revival is. And I would simply say revival's God. It's God himself. In Psalm 119, the psalmist is crying out in those last eight verses there, and he's asking God to touch him. He's asking God to teach him, and then ultimately, would you just change my life? And so when he gets in a place of honesty and humility, and he's owning where he's at, and he wants to respond as God speaks to him. But Daniel Henderson said in that book, he said, revival changes everything. He says, in revival, God is glorified. People are sanctified. The church is edified. The world is mystified and the enemy is notified. You think about that's good. In the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man moved by God to leave where he was at, going 900 miles away, and come to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. But it was his time before God that really, I think, brought revival to that city. He spent months in praying. You talked about Jesus being, you know, going somewhere to get quiet and being still. Scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. Well, who taught us how to do that? Jesus did. He also went to a place to get silent. You know, I'm sure he meditated and as in his humanity, meditating on himself, the word himself, he's meditating on himself. Think about that. And then he's asking God to let this cup pass from him in that garden. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So it changes everything if we let God do what he does, and in our lives individually, and our families can change, our church can change. And I think that's the best place to start, is that most of us probably on this podcast have a relationship with Jesus, but probably most of us could say we need a fresh touch. We need God to touch us and teach us right where we are, to move us out of here, and then really ultimately transform us. So there is a marked identifiable difference that, man, God's ministered to me. There's evidence he's working in my life, and I want to follow him. And, you know, people can tell, you know, not only you can tell, your wife can tell, or, and that's what happened to me, just seeing, you know, and hearing the word preached and responding to it, and you're still desiring that. So I just praise God for the privilege to hear his word and to respond to it. And he's a shepherd. He's going to call his sheep to himself. And he says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. And that's really where I want to be found.
Yeah. And I would add to that. You said your wife can tell, that the home typically is the first place that they can tell when a man starts to change and a man starts to get right with God and personal revival happens in his heart. Your family ought to be able to know. I can tell you right now, when I'm walking in the flesh and not walking in the spirit, the first people that notice and suffer is my family, my wife and children. I can put on a front. You know, we talked about this in our Connect class, what we call our Sunday school. So I teach a Connect class to the ages of the 30, 40 year olds, some of them upper 40. So they all have teenagers, and we just got on the topic of prayer requests, how hard it is to raise teenagers. And it really is. And that's a different podcast for a different day. I'm gonna have to sit in on that one, let somebody else teach that one. I don't have the answers for the teenagers, but, we started talking about what it means, the teach and lead teenagers, and how hard that is, for us to do. And, I tell you, my family sees us no more than anybody else. And we talked about how we may fuss at our family, or some reasons nobody wants to get ready on time on Sundays. That's the only day of the week. Listen, I think the enemy's after that day. I do. You're going to argue, you're going to fight with your kids, it's going to be on Sunday for some reason. And yet we can walk in the church after screaming at our kids, hey, good morning. How are y'all this morning? Man, we're doing great. We're excited to be here, right? We put on that front where our family knows. And the biggest impact on me is still my father, that I never saw a different guy in the pulpit than what I saw at home. That he wasn't somebody else at church than he was at home, because God was doing a personal work in his heart. And that spills over not only in your home, but in public, right? And this is not easy stuff. I mean, right. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you mentioned Nehemiah, where Nehemiah has a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. Do we really think the enemy wants us to have a personal revival and lead men to that way?
No, but you look at Nehemiah, man, the whole city changed in a matter of months. And, you know, I think it's what we got to look at, is he's digging through trash and rubbish. The walls are down, the gates are burned with fire, and he's getting to the core, I think, not only of where the city's at so he can rebuild it, but then to the core of his own heart. He said, I and my house have sinned. Me and my father's house have sinned. And so I think once he got there, where he got to the core of who he was, God could work in his heart. You know, obviously the hand of God came upon him, so they were able to get what they needed to rebuild those walls and move as they moved through those cities. And he chose some men to go with him to investigate. And at the same time, God's investigating them, I'm sure. Are you up for the task, so to speak? And are you going to work through and stay in the fight? Because there's going to be an enemy. He's going to come to try to stop the work that I want to do here. And are you going to let him? And I'm so thankful that he shows us how to pray and cry out to God. We see Nehemiah in revival consistently through the book. He's always, it's almost like he's getting a fresh touch. He's learning something new, and he's pressing in, and God's changing and changing and changing. And so all of a sudden, man, those walls are built, and they have to stand back and say, look what God did. And probably one of my favorite places there, I think he reaches back into who he is as a man and in the core of his heart. And they're trying to get him off that wall. And he says, should a man such as I flee? Should I run from this? And it goes back to the core of who God wanted him to be. I think he probably reached back to that time of fasting and prayer early on before he even got to where he was. And I think he reached back to that fresh, you know, touch that God gave him then, that he probably drew strength from to keep on keeping on and not come down.
Yeah. And he had lots of critics too. He had other men. I don't know. I can't remember the guy's names off the top of my head. Tobiah, maybe he's one of them.
Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem.
Yeah. There you go. And
they're still alive.
They are. There are Sanballats in every church. Yeah. And for any pastor or minister that's listening that got an anonymous letter before, there's your Sanballats there. They sent letters anonymously about him trying to disturb the work of God. And he constantly had his critics. And I tell you, they're disheartening. I mean, they make me want to quit. You know, those toxic people that make you want to quit. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We know that, but Satan sure does like to use these critics and stuff to try to discourage us to come off the wall that God has told us to build in our own lives. And
yeah, going back to God's word, listen to this verse. It's life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those death words were meant to land and find lodging in their hearts there. And at the same time, God's word is life. And so let life build you up and speak into you. And, you know, the thing about revival too, I think some of us forget about the stuff that needs to take place in revival and dealing with is unforgiveness and having a clear conscience and a place of brokenness and the sin that's got to be dealt with. So it is a work of cleansing and a work that is needed probably more than we realize.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you see this also in Revelation when John got a fresh look at Jesus. This was a guy who walked with him, who talked with him, who did ministry with him, who was that disciple that Jesus loved. And he had a fresh encounter with the Lord and fell on his face before God and then wrote this book that we cherish and that we're probably reading now more than ever before. But he had that personal revival where he was seeking God's face and everything around him started changing. And same thing with Nehemiah, circumstances start to change, right? You start seeing those in light of that. This is God's, the power of God going forward here in my own life, as well as the life of the people. And I know the reformers used to say this, where prayer and repentance, confession is the start of revival. But the way you know revival is happening, not only in your heart, but around you, is things around you start to change. The historical revivals that have happened in our nation, bars and brothels were shut down, right? The community took notice. And you're right, Satan and his hordes were notified on that. So,
I want me to cut you off, but I wanted to say this one statement. Duncan Campbell said, revival is a community saturated with God. I mean, just think about that saturation taking place and God's evidence and power there and just the great move that we've seen in our nation's history and need another move today.
Yeah. And I want to encourage the men too that are listening that if God does something in your heart and your wife and your children change, and don't ever underestimate the power of God in that and what the Lord is doing. Oftentimes I find men especially want to do something big for God. You know, they want to change the world. Somebody used to say they want to attack hell with a water pistol, right? They just, and God is calling us into simple obedience. Hey, you lead where I have placed you. And if that's in your home, that's with your family, I tell you what, that's a big revival happening in your home. That don't underestimate what God is doing even there. And then things around you, church or your workplace, will start to change. But I want the change to be evident in my heart, my family's heart as well.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.